The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Okay, folks. Well, it's one of those really interesting technological days, you know, where, as I was mentioning earlier, I think I was only on for a couple of seconds, but I'm at Georgia Tech today, and I'm in their tech building, which is, I mean, you couldn't get techier than this place, but they've got, I don't know, it's so overpowering here that if you don't get on the right system, it doesn't work very well. So we've changed systems. I'm hoping it comes through well for you today because I've got a great guest with me today. And by the way, I want to remind everybody in Denver that Tom and I will be coming up there, or I'll be coming up there, or Tom lives in Denver, and we'll be having a program for you in just a few weeks, but we'll talk more about that later. Right now, I'm pleased to introduce Tom Samuelson. Tom Samuelson is Senior Portfolio Manager for First Allied Asset Management. He manages two of the greatest programs that I know of. One's called the Covered Call Select, and the other's the Yield Select. Those are the two of the programs that we like to use. We'll be talking more about those programs as we go into the show. But Tom has a tremendous background. He was with Geronimo Investments. He ran three hedge funds. He was also with Invesco there in the Denver area. And he helped run money for Notre Dame. So for all you Irish out there, he helped make money for y'all years ago. So anyway, we're pleased to have Tom on this morning. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mike. Good to be with you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Well, yesterday was an interesting day, and it looks like the market's going to open up down a little bit this morning, not much. October is one of those interesting months. Five of the largest sell-offs have taken place in the month of October, and we've been waiting since 2011 for the big one, for a correction of some kind. Are we building up to possibly having a correction this? Do you think here, or this is just a dip like we usually get?
Yeah, good question, Mike. I think it's very interesting times right now. If you remember the last time we spoke, it was earlier this summer. We were talking about the probability of increased volatility and a market correction to wring out some of the froth that was in the market, and that's what we're getting. So over the last 13 days. You know, the S&P has corrected about 5%, and it may have a little bit further to go, but we track 19 different indicators in our macro model, and the macro model looks at things like initial jobless claims, which have been shown to be highly explanatory of stock market returns, and they're just not signaling a deep and severe correction. And I think, you know, what set it off yesterday was the IMF, or the International Monetary Fund, cutting their outlook for global growth, and I think it's important to keep that in perspective. I mean, they were expecting growth next year 4%, well, they trimmed that to 3.8%, so we're still looking at growth next year by the IMF, and that's an acceleration from this year. This year is going to have 3.3% growth. And, you know, there is concern about a slowdown in Europe, and German industrial production fell 4% in August. And what I think is interesting about that, though, is a lot of that was because of the holiday season and auto manufacturing in Europe dropping 25%. So the initial indications for September look for a strong rebound. So I think the market is concerned about slowing growth and concerned about Europe, but right now it looks like Europe tipping back into a deep recession is not likely. I think we'll see a rebound out of Germany.
Germany. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
One other thing, like we talked about the last time. You know, this pattern is typical. So in front of, this is a midterm year for the U.S. economy. We've got the elections coming up in about a month. And if you go back to 1929 and look at what typically happens, there is some nervousness in the markets right before the election. And that's also contributing to this. We know September is the only month actually that averages a negative return over the last 20, 50, 100 years, and that's what we got in September. October is the most volatile month of the year. So seeing some jitters, some nervousness at this time of the year is not unusual. And if you go back to World War II, when you're up for the first three quarters of the year, there's an 82% probability that you'll have a positive fourth quarter. So there are some analogs that, as we get through the midterm elections, provide strong tailwinds for the overall market.
Now, so you feel like that the Eurozone is improving? Because I know that they're concerned that France is in a deflationary mode, not an inflationary mode, but they're actually using the D word for France. But if I understand what you're saying, things could be more positive out of Germany over the next several months, because Germany has been having a rough time as of late, and of course it's the linchpin for the Eurozone. It seems to be all of the three legs holding up the Eurozone right now.
Yeah, to be clear, I'm not saying Europe's improving. I'm saying that concerns of Europe rolling back into a deep recession, I think, are overblown, and a significant portion of that drop in industrial production in Germany in August can be explained by auto production being out for the entire month. In fact, if you look, I was just noticing Mercedes is going to post in September all-time record high sales in September, and Audi is posting record sales out of China. So Europe is still an issue, and for global growth, but I think expectations of it rolling into a deep recession are overblown. I think what set this off too was last week, ECB Chairman Draghi were disappointed markets. Most investors were expecting an expansion of his stimulus and quantitative easing, and he fell short of that. And then yesterday we saw the German head of the Bundesbank criticize the limited private market bond purchases that Draghi is doing. But I think there's some politics in that. France has submitted a budget that's worse than the Commission mandates. They want to see a 3% deficit, and France came out with a 4.3% deficit. So I think Germany or the German Bundesbank chairman is sending a message to France that those kind of deficits are not okay, from the second largest economy in Europe. So I think some of this is political. I think Europe is certainly a concern, and it's something we're watching closely. And the EFA in general needs to catch. That's one of the indicators in our model, and something we're watching closely. But I don't see it rolling into a deep and prolonged recession.
Now, is Mr. Putin a concern to you? Is he more than just political? Is he, we've seen quite a dramatic downturn in oil prices. Is Russia any part of that?
Yeah, Russia is a concern, and it's part of this expanded geopolitical risk that we're seeing. And so far, the re-engagement in Iraq and Syria has not gone well. I see one city in Syria is falling back to ISIS, but so I think it's a pattern of geopolitical strife that the market is focusing on. But the Ukraine, in terms of its impact on the global economy, is not that significant, and I think this ultimately will be worked through.
Well, I hope so. I hope you're right. Listen, when we come back, we're going to talk to Tom about interest rates and how they're going to affect your investments going forward. So stay with us. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street each and every day. We'll be back with Tom Samuelson in just a moment.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
Okay, Tom, we're entering earnings seasons. I guess Alcoa came out last night, I suppose. But what's interesting to me is I was reading an article this morning, and the anticipated earnings growth for this upcoming quarter is 4.6%. As recent as August, that number was 9%. And it seems that lately, even for, I mean, like every year, for instance, even with GDP, we start out at the beginning of the year with much more of an optimistic viewpoint, and we seem to be always tapering down our optimism by the end of the year. What's going on with earnings, and are they good quality earnings that we will expect from the companies? Because it seems to me like the market is beginning to punish people now if the earnings are strictly coming from cost cutting. Everybody's really looking for top line growth. Will we see more top line growth as we go forward?
Well, I think those are all the key questions as we enter earnings season, and the market's going to be very focused on what the earnings look like for the third quarter and for the second half. I think it's important to keep it in perspective that Wall Street typically starts the year out bullish, and more often than not revises down estimates. But for the full year, earnings are expected to be up 11%. And in the second quarter, they were up 12%. So the backdrop of earnings, of course, is the economy. And the U.S. economy grew at 4.6% in the second quarter, and the expectations are for it to taper somewhat, but still grow at a 3% clip in the second half. When I was going through and looking at the quality of the growth of the economy, one thing that was positive is that the effect from inventories, or so-called final sales, was revised down. So less of the second quarter came from building inventories, which means what you're pulling forward potentially from the third quarter is less. So the quality of the growth that we saw in the second quarter was better as the initial and preliminary and final GDP readings came out. Now, valuation is always a concern, and we think if the S&P were to get north of 2100, then valuation becomes a greater headwind. We're at 1938 currently, but the expectations are for $119 of earnings on the S&P 500 for this year. Again, that's up 11% year over year. So the S&P is selling at 16.2 times operating earnings for this year, and that's slightly above its long-term average of about 15.5. And then as you go forward into next year, the expectations are for $136 per share of earnings, and so the S&P is selling at 14.2 times next year's earnings, and that's cheaper, than the long-term 15.5. So we'll see. We'll see how the earnings progresses, but I think the backdrop of the U.S. economy is pretty constructive for a decent earnings.
Okay, season. Well, in the midst of this optimism, one of the things that investors are constantly looking for is yield and the ability to get some cash flow as they get near retirement or they're in retirement. You run two of our favorite programs. One is called the Covered Call Select, and one is the Yield Select. Can you talk to us a little bit about those programs and let the folks know pretty much what they're like and how they're constructed?
Sure. The first one is Yield Select, and it focuses on dividend-paying stocks, high-quality dividend-paying stocks, and it's blended with a range of different bond categories. And then the two pieces will increase or decrease based on the input from our macro models. So when our models turn bearish, we'll have less exposure into the more volatile dividend-paying category and more into the more stable bond category. And when our models are constructive or bullish, then we can have up to 80% in dividend-paying stocks. So that interplay between stocks and bonds helps to dampen the overall volatility. The strategies since inception has given you a 3.5% to 5.5% yield, and right now it's yielding 4.1%, and it's delivered 12.5% per year. So our objective is, the income attributes of bonds with less interest rate risk, and the growth attributes of stocks with less stock market risk. That's Yield Select, and then Covered Calls uses options in a very conservative and defensive fashion. It principally owns dividend-paying stocks, and then sells call options on them or gives someone else the right to buy those stocks away from us, typically at a higher price, and that option acts as a second dividend often. So covered calls, selling the call option can dampen overall volatility, and then, as I say, also provides auxiliary income. You get the dividends of the companies, and then if that option expires worthless, then we collect the premium, and that adds the income generation of the strategy. So that strategy's done 13% per year, and it's captured 80% of the S&P's return with 40% less risk.
Oh, that's a lot. That's tremendous. 80% of the return with 40% less risk. So one's yielded an average of 13%, the other 12.5%. That's why we like what you do so much. By the way, it would seem to me that if this market starts trending sideways more, the covered call strategy, does that work as well? Is that an optimum strategy to have?
Good question, Mike. Ideally, covered calls work best in a sideways moving market or slightly upward biased. It's going to lag when you get into a very strong market like we saw last year. And one thing, the way I run it, if our models turn bearish, then I'll roll the call options further in the money so we get more protection from them, and that's part of the reason we've had such a low volatility with the strategy, where if our macro models are bullish, then I'm selling the option that's out of the money, or I'm giving the stock the chance to run further to the upside. So it's run very much in conjunction with a macro model that helps us determine the broader trend of the overall stock market.
Well, you've done a tremendous job, Tom, and we are really looking forward to hearing from you in a couple of weeks. We're up there in Denver, and I appreciate you taking the time to do this for us. So we'll look forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks when we come to Denver. And thank you so much for being on with me today, sir.
You bet, Mike. Good to be with you.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.